Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax. Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road. Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by Rob, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your day for us. Before we begin, if you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button. Also, be sure to leave us a review and or a comment on the platform you're using. Before we get started, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing fantastic, Drew.
Good. Well,
so this episode, we're going to do a little different than we usually do. Rob and I actually had gone ahead and recorded the preview episode for the game this weekend with the Seahawks and talked about some of the roster moves, but things have changed today. So we're gonna go ahead and actually merge some of that topic into this episode here in just a moment. But before we get into that, we, of course, have to address the elephant in the room, and that's Kadarius Toney. So today, he actually was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, of all places, the places where first-round busts of the Giants go for some strange reason there. So he was traded in the end for a third-round draft pick and a sixth-round draft pick. The third-round draft pick is actually their comp pick they got due to the hire there in Chicago of one of their executives becoming the new GM. So this ends now the Kadarius Toney days in New York, and it ends it on a very odd note because immediately as this was going down, Kadarius Toney was all over Twitter, ecstatic and also saying some crazy odd things at the same time. So, you know, first thing was Chiefs Kingdom, baby. Thank you, God. Okay, not enough, no biggie. Then he says, LOL, please don't go outside thinking I care. Okay, that's a bit odd. Then he says, that joke would have been funny if I was actually hurt still, LOL. Irrelevant people don't get updates. And that's the one that as a Giant fan is like a kiss of death for me if he meant what we all think he meant, that he wasn't hurt and that he just didn't want to play, basically. Because, you know, keep in mind that what the money that we spend on this team, whether it be tickets, apparel, in some cases, you know, things like NFL Plus subscriptions, those kind of things, all that goes to pay their salary. So to disrespect the people that are literally responsible for you having the money that you have is something that irks me as a fan, irks me as somebody who spends money on this team because it's a passion of mine, as I'm sure it's a passion for a lot of you guys as well. And if he wasn't actually injured and he was just being held out, unless it was the Giants' decision to hold him out, that's something that I'll always remember about Kadarius Toney. That's something that'll stick with me forever. And I really hope that's being misconstrued of what he meant, because it wouldn't be the first time he's been on Twitter and something's been misconstrued. But it's just a scary proposition that that's now a possibility. Also in this, we got the victory train for Pat Leonard, journalist who basically is the most hated Giants journalist probably in the entire world here. And he's been saying for months and months and months that Kadarius Toney is on the trading block, going back all the way out to the summertime. And, you know, basically he's been got a lot of slack for it. So now the question comes to be, was he right all along? Or was he just BSing and happened to be right in the end? And unfortunately, we'll probably never know. But there's definitely a lot more to this story. And I'm really curious to get, you know, the full, you know, rundown eventually. As we mentioned when Blake Martinez left, things have a way of coming out eventually. And things have a way of eventually escaping, MetLife and Timex and all, and coming out. You know, you got to go back to the original time when he was there in the, training camp and missed the first voluntary days, didn't get a playbook on time. And that really irked a lot of the fans, but it also seemed to irk some of the people as well within the Giants organization. And I can see why. You got a new regime coming in, brand new offense. You got a guy that shows a lot of promise. They're really counting on big things from him. And for whatever reason, right from the get-go, he never seemed to be somebody who wanted to be a part of that. And it's a bit confusing as to why he wouldn't want to be a part of that. But he just never really seemed interested. Obviously, the rumors have always been he's more interested in his rap career than he is actually football. I don't want to go that far because I don't know the guy personally. I don't know what drives him and what gets him going. But for whatever reason, he just never wanted to see the field seen. I mean, the guy ran out of hamstrings to injure, months ago. And we've been talking about this, Rob and I both, on the podcast for a while now about how, it seems like once one hamstring heals up, another one seems to get injured. So, you look at that on the outside and you go, okay, that's Kadarius Toney not wanting to play. But you also got to look at it from the perspective of, was that possibly the Giants even holding him back, saying, you know what, this guy isn't a fit. We don't want him on the team. And I'll say some of the things he's done makes me kind of question whether he's somebody that if I was a coach, I would want on the team personality-wise. And again, I don't know the guy personally, so I don't want to sit there and act like I'm an expert, but there's definitely some flags. So the Entertainer, who I'm sure those of you who follow other content creators are probably well aware of him and his thing, but he's pretty big time as far as Giant content creators there. Definitely a guy that we respect here on this show. He came out and shared a tweet that he put back in September. He said, Kadarius Toney and injuries go together like peanut butter and jelly. This dates back to college. I'm rooting for the guy and think he can make an impact when on the field, but this guy needs to find a way to stay on it. So Kadarius Toney went ahead and DM'd him after that. Cap dummy, go find some safe to do. I may be reading more into this than need be, but it almost sounds like a threat. And that's something that I personally wouldn't take lightly. Because of the fact that you just never know who's legit and who's not nowadays. I mean, it's a scary thought, though, at the same point, though, that even if he didn't mean it legitimately as a threat, that he would threaten someone in direct message. I think that's okay to do. But then on top of that, that he's so soft as a character and as an individual, that would anger him enough, that tweet of all things, to send a DM like that. Because that's not all that bad. I mean, in the realm of things that have been said in New York about players, that is definitely not something to go crazy about there. And, it's something that I'm a little afraid about, the fact that he does that and thinks that's okay as an individual, and I hope he gets the help he needs to realize that's not okay. Because it's just not. Now, the other aspect of this that you also have to continue to look at is, we were hoping on Kadarius Toney to be the big get, so to speak, at the trade deadline. So instead of trading for somebody, we would get a star receiver back that we've been missing basically the entire season. And now that we don't have him, but we do have some additional picks, it begs the question, should we now go out and get somebody to go ahead and be that number one receiver? It's the move that even last night when he and I were recording the segment that's going to come on in a moment, it's something I would have said wouldn't have happened, because don't give up draft picks when you're rebuilding, which is good as the Giants have been this year. It's a rebuild year. You don't want to give up future assets. But now you've gained some future assets. You've gained a third-round pick, albeit a late third-round pick that's almost a fourth round because it is a compensation pick. You also got an extra sixth-round pick. We're also anticipating getting a fifth-round pick and a seventh-round pick, by most experts' opinion, in the compensation rounds as well for us. So you got some extra picks now. I think we had nine, now. And now we're going to have, with the compensation picks, 11 potentially. That's a lot of picks. So I'm not upset to have a lot of picks. Don't get me wrong. We have some definite needs as well on our team. But, if you can get a receiver that's inexpensive, because obviously we still don't have cap space. If you can go ahead and get an inexpensive receiver like Denzel Mims, it makes sense to do. If you can get Elijah Moore pried away from the Jets, it makes sense to do. And it's weird to keep taking Jet players, but, that's what we got available right now. The other option people keep talking about is Jerry Jeudy. Keep in mind, Jerry Jeudy spent his college days at Alabama. So Dable was his offensive coordinator there. So the two of them have rapport. So I'll say this, if they get him, that's an exciting move because Abel has the experience to know how he is, know what kind of player he is, and he knows his personality, he knows his fit on the team and on the culture they want to build. So if they get him, it's a move I'm 100% behind at that point. Now, the other option is, of course, DJ Moore, who we've been talking about now for basically since the supposed fire sale has been talked about at the beginning of the season with the Panthers doing so bad. The problem with Moore is that he's very inexpensive this year. Going forward, though, he's very expensive. So, you know, it's something that we have to kind of keep an eye on to see, you know, are the Giants interested in putting that kind of money in that position, especially after we just gave this huge contract to Kenny Golladay, and that came back to bite us in the butt there. But it's an interesting move, this whole thing, and it creates a whole new topic of conversations there. You know, next episode that we have for the post-game episode there, which will be two episodes from now, but as I'm recording, this will be the next one that we record, since the preview episode will be coming out after this, that we recorded last night. We'll get Rob's thoughts on this trade as well. You know, like I said, this is a trade that very well could, I'll be very honest, could bite us in the ass 100% because if Tony turns out to be healthy and you put him in that Kansas City offense with Patrick Mahomes, he has the potential to be an absolute dynamite player for them. And that's a really scary concept that you can get a player like that that could basically get his way out of New York and go to Kansas City and really shine. But, you know, the Giants did the right move, I think, in the end, personally. Again, we'll get Rob's opinion on the next episode we shoot, which will be the post game there for after the Seahawks game. But I think the Giants made the right move. You had to make that move now because if Tony doesn't see the field at all this year and you go to trade him in the offseason, hypothetically, you're not going to get anything for him. You know, nobody wants to get a player that's been sitting out all year and not healthy. So the longer he's out and the longer he doesn't play, the less value he has. So, you know, it could very well be that he, you know, never sees the field pretty much for Kansas City either. You know, it wouldn't be the first time that he was supposed to be healthy, played for the Giants, and then, you know, next week all of a sudden he can't practice again or has the wrong size cleats or who knows what it is. I mean, the guy was just a constant distraction while he was here, I think. And that's not what you're trying to build here in this kind of culture. And we're winning. We don't want to mess up the culture that's there. And I think he potentially could have done that just based on everything you're seeing now. You know, obviously, again, we'll have the whole story as it comes out there. And I'm curious to see how this whole thing unfolds. But as of right now, it looks like a great move by the Giants and Joe Shane. And, you know, Dable talked about it a little today during his press conference. And when I say he talked about it a little, I mean, he literally was asked, he said, I thought it was best for team, on to Seattle. That was his quote. And if that's not telling guys, then you got to read between the lines, because there's a big line here, because usually when NFL teams get rid of a player, they say, listen, we appreciate his efforts. We wish nothing for the best of him, you know, going forward there. You didn't hear any of that in that quote. You just heard, yep, best for the team, next. So that tells you right there, without saying it, I think, what Dable's thoughts are on that. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, and you know, that's not fair of me to do. But I think it's pretty obvious that the team was ready to move on. And like I said, it was the right move for now, and you just gotta hope it's the right move for the long term. And, you know, one of those receivers we talked about a moment ago there, I really hope they go ahead and, you know, pick up at this point, because we don't have a number one coming, guys. There's no more Tony coming that we can say, oh, well, Tony's coming, maybe that'll change the offense. There's no more guy like that. We need a real receiver here at this point. You know, no offense to the guys we have there, but besides Wandale, there's not a receiver on this roster that I'm excited to see and think has the potential to be a great NFL receiver. And even Wandale, I don't know if I would say great. I don't think he's going to be an all-pro or anything like that, but I think he will be a legitimate receiver, and I think he has the potential to be, you know, the next generation of Giants, basically Shepherd. You know, a guy, shifty guy in the slot that plays for a number of years for us, puts all the work in, willing to do whatever it takes for the team to win, takes the hits. I mean, that's what he's shown in the few games we've seen him in so far, is that kind of attitude. So we just had to have the skill to come up to give that Shepherd analogy I just gave make sense, because I don't want to disrespect what Shepard's done for the team and say he already is like Shepard because he's not there yet. But I think he has that kind of potential. So we'll see what happens there. So besides the Tony trade, like I said, initially we had recorded the preview episode. Rob and I also discussed some roster moves here. So we're going to go ahead and break into that session now. And then once, like I said, in the next probably next 12 hours after this goes ahead and uploaded there and available for content there, we'll go ahead and put the preview episode for Seattle up for you guys as well to go ahead and listen to as well. So hope you enjoyed everything we talked about in this episode there. And like I said, we'll go ahead and get rolling here with the other additions since we've done with the subtractions now, the additions to the roster.
Can I say?
Can you say what?
Nick Gates. Nick Gates. Elevate from the pup. He's no longer a puppy.
Nick Gates.
13 months. 13 months and he's finally healthy to play.
It's absolutely amazing considering what he came from. I we talked about it in the last podcast and, you know, where this decision was coming up and I couldn't be more excited. And again, not even as a Giant fan, but just for the guy in general to come back from that kind of injury.
Yeah,
and that quickly.
They talked about him not even like being able to walk properly and let alone play football, let alone play at the highest level. That's amazing. Kudos to him.
Seriously.
Fantastic. Can I drop an F-bomb for him? Fan-fucking-tastic.
Oh, I think you should. I think it's only fair to drop an F-bomb for him.
It is a win for us.
And like I said, this is kind of our trade deadline because not only do we get him, but we also get returning to practice this week, Rodarius Williams. When we talked about how we needed another corner, there's your other corner right there.
Yeah.
Matt Peart, and you know, if he's able to play here with Evan Neal being out for a couple weeks, that's pretty good.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope. Like, I know a lot of these like pups are coming up. Just like you and I were talking about, like if they play Nick Gates, that's fantastic this week. I'm also not upset if they just let him rest off the pup and take the bye. But like you said, let him play, see what happens. He's got an extra week to rest.
Well, it all depends on how far along he really is. So, you know, Coach Dable was asked about that in the press conference today. And, you know, as we shoot this on a very late Wednesday, almost Thursday here.
Well, it's Thursday morning, guys.
Yeah, it's technically Thursday morning. It's 1:30. But yeah, the he was asked if he could play now if need be. And he said, yeah, we wouldn't be activating him otherwise. So, I mean, it's kind of matter of fact about that. So. It's interesting because with all the injuries we have going on and him being a guy who really can play anywhere on the offensive line, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. He was asked about, Gates' tackle or inside line. He said we've been working him mostly at center and guard, and that's where we expect him to be. So you definitely don't think of him as a tackle right now, at least, Let's say knock on wood, any more injuries happen.
Yeah, knock on wood. Also, I didn't see anything about Feliciano. He's healthy to play?
Yeah, so far, I haven't heard anything negative about him. So, no news is good news as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But obviously, we definitely think that Dable is part of the Belichick tree that doesn't want to talk about the injuries. He wants to kind of leave you guessing.
He doesn't want to give the other team too much information. He just goes, it's a knee.
And as frustrating as a fan that is, it's great. It's honestly don't give up more than you have to because it's not just the fans listening; it's Pete Carroll and all too. So
I mean, we've talked offline about this too. Like, I hate and love the fact that that's what he's doing because it's a great strategy. But my God, I'm like the guy that's jonesing to watch the next episode of whatever, and I can't. So I just want to know,
jonesing for Jones.
I'm jonesing for Jones. We could get on him a little bit later. We're also not, let's not forget about Eleanor's son. Yeah. I said over this before the podcast. Yeah. He's also activated off the pup.
And he's been kind of the mystery injury. We hadn't heard anything about him at all, pretty much, and how he's doing or anything. Again, this team doesn't like to give any information. They don't have to. But it's good to see him back because, especially with Aziz being out with injury right now, it's good to have another body at that position right now. It looks like also Ximénez is going to be healthy as well this week too. So
even better.
Yeah. So, the edge rush position, defensive end kind of position is going to have some nice, fresh legs there going, hopefully. We'd be remiss also not to talk about the tight end position as well.
I was going to get there.
Yeah. We've talked all enough about, obviously, about Bellinger and his injury. Again, speedy recovery, Daniel. We definitely want him back on the roster there. We did go ahead and add last week Lawrence Cager from the Jets, who was more of a receiving tight end, which is interesting because we don't really have a receiving tight end. He was a converted wide receiver that they turned into a tight end. And he was somebody that they cut with the hopes of putting him onto their practice squad, much like, you know, Jason Pinnock, the safety. We plucked them from the Jets roster there and said, "Hey, you don't have to get a new apartment. You can just stay where you're at." And you know,
it's the same stadium, enough to learn new turf.
Exactly, and I think Cager saw the potential to get on the field better with the Giants, and obviously that's before the Bellinger injury even happened a couple of days beforehand. But now with that, definitely much more of an option. But we also signed to the practice squad Andre Miller, who, if you remember, was the rookie tight end that was, we're also working out at the fullback position as well, during the preseason there. So, you know, I think the fact that he was signed to the practice squad kind of tells you that Cager is going to be probably the guy that they'll bring up this week to be the third tight end. And, you know, again, it's, I think something that might be interesting to see. He might have the best hands that, that on the team right now, the way the roster is going, besides Wandale.
Yeah.
A scary, I mean,
hey,
that sounds.
Hey, don't talk down about Richie. He's still our top receiver.
Yeah. He's been kind of disappearing after the first couple of weeks. And, you know, I don't even know if I want to say disappeared or has he gone crashed down to what we expected out of him, I guess. Or,
I mean, I'm sure when people are doing our tapes and looking over, well, not ours, but the Giants, they're looking and they're like, oh, that's the top receiver. Let's put some good corners on this guy. And he should really be like a wide three, wide four. And he's number one. I mean,
yeah.
If Belger was right up there with yards too, with him, like it's, I was looking at a stat that none of our receivers are over 200 yards for the year.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It's crazy.
But amazing at the same time. Because that just shows what we're doing. We're winning. Yeah. And what we have to do.
We're basically six quarters away from the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't have 200 yards. That means like not a single player is on pace to do 400 yards of the season. I mean, that's, ugh.
So back again with even more news. So Sterling Shepard actually underwent his surgery to repair his torn ACL today. That's after a month of rehab, which I know sounds a little weird, but when you tear an ACL, you need to have to do rehab to get some of the swelling and all down before they can actually even go in and do the surgery. So obviously he's still not going to see the field this year, but I wanted to at least bring it up and make sure people are aware. Obviously Sterling Shepard has a great reputation amongst Giant fans, and obviously, Rob and I both wish him the best and a speedy recovery there and, you know, excellent future, whether it be, you know, him calling it a day and saying it's time to hang it up when this whole rehab is done, or, you know, if he decides he wants to come back and leave on his own terms. And obviously we hope that as well for him, barring, you know, no safety issues long term for him. So, got nothing but love for Shep there. Great player, great heart, hopefully good things are coming for him in the future as well. Thank you, folks, for joining us. This is a very eventful episode of Two Giant Goofballs. We appreciate you taking the time out to listen to everything we had thought-wise here on the moves made to the roster in the last couple of days here. It's definitely an exciting time overall, besides the win streak, just with the moves being made there. Be sure to go ahead and follow us on our social media platforms. That's at Two Giant Goofballs. That's at the number two Giant Goofballs. That's on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So go ahead and follow us all there. And make sure you hit that subscribe button too, because, you know, we get updates here. Like I said, we're going to be having the preview episode here dropping soon for the Seahawks game. Got some exciting info coming up for that. And of course, as always, after the game, we'll have a good post-game reaction show as well there. So again, appreciate you guys taking the time out today, and go G-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. We appreciate your support.
If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?